I wonder how many of us, having been heartbroken, wanted to pull up stumps and just take off. I think quite a few. Most people don't, though. They hang around being miserable and boring their friends to death. And then there was Sheridan Jobbins. Now, many people know the name. Been around a long time in journalism, and she's great. And now written her account of how she ended up driving across the United States in a red hot Chevy. Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? And she's in the studio with me. G'day.
Hey, Jim.
How are you going?
Really well, thank you.
We must be kindred spirits because you have to be a Pink Floyd fan to start with.
I am. Yeah,
wish
yeah,
you were
yeah.
here. Driving name of the book.
Yeah, but driving across a desert plain to wish you were here. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or Crazy Diamond or whatever it might be.
The whole lot.
This is an amazing story. And by the way, on the front cover it says, and I'll tell you who said it in a minute, raw, hilarious and wise, this wild ride will have you crying with laughter. My mate Amanda Keller. Now, if Amanda thinks it's funny, it must be.
Yeah. she's a good friend as well, so it's a double endorsement.
Yeah. I guess that's one way of overcoming heartbreak. Hey?
I'm not very good with... I think it's really important to feel your feelings, but at the same time, wallowing or being low isn't quite my style. So, so, you know, break everything that's broken.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
On this occasion, though, it was more like I'd been struggling for about 18 months to make it work, and it just wasn't working. And in the middle of the night, I tried to be a grown-up. I tried to have a cup of Horlicks, put my hand into the cupboard, and it was open out the back, and it knocked everything along, and about 3 feet down, a cup that I cared about smashed, and I thought, I'll repair it. I'll get some araldite. Yeah. Opened the drawer. The whole drawer was full of smashed araldite waiting crockery.
God.
And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I just smashed everything.
You thought, bugger it, that's it.
Felt brilliant. Yeah. Next morning, ran into the hallway, met a man who sort of said, "Are you all right in there, love?" Yeah. I went, "Yeah, no, good, really good." I did that at 4 o'clock in the morning in a block of flats, and I just stood there with all my cleaned up broken lady crockery and thought, America,
I'm off.
Run away. Yeah. You know, who did you want to be when you were 9 years old? I wanted to be a gypsy traveling across America doing Route 66 and sitcoms and diners and Fred Flintstone and...
Exactly.
And so I did
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I lived the 9-year-old's dream.
I reckon a lot of people think to themselves, God, I'd love to do that, but never do.
Yeah, you need to be empty, I think. Sometimes you just need to have run out of ideas and think, well... This isn't who I imagined I was going to be. I was going to be an astronaut or a spy or, some investigative person. And, so I just did it.
Why the red hot Chevy?
Well, it was the best thing I ever did because she became my travel companion. I called her Betty because she was a whopping great 89 Chevy Camaro.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Favoured in certain quarters for drive-by shootings. Mm-hmm. Just monstrous six-cylinder car. And when I was looking for it, I thought I'd get a Mercedes. I thought I'd get a Merc.
Yeah.
A nice, reliable country car to do the distance, not rust, all the rest of it. But looking for a Merc in L.A., they thought it was a Mercury, which would be like finding an old...
Of course.
Yeah, they thought... So they were showing me Hyundais and, Camrys. And I thought, oh, my Lord. Yeah, I'm tiptoeing across the world. Like, I want to be big. So there was on Santa Monica Boulevard a used car place called Sheridan. So it was literally going Sheridan Motors, Sheridan.
This is my place.
Yeah. And the special for the day, it was a Friday and it was a long weekend, was this Chevy Camaro. And I just started to laugh. It was just the funniest, best, biggest muscle car I've ever seen. You know, a country that doesn't even have the word for hoon and should.
Wouldn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
No, that's right. And away you went.
And away I went. So,
By the sound of that, because I've driven with my family from LA all the way over to Denver. So it sounded like you started in LA.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I went up through Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't take any technology with me because I'd been working in film and television. I didn't want to record it. I thought looking at the world through a screen was somehow corrupt and it was part of my old life and it wasn't going into the world. It was still going backwards. So I took a paper map. I took a Rand McNally, and it was a big, beautiful thing in a leather binding. Mm. And I kept seeing places on this map, and there's something about poring over a map and thinking, these are the places I've heard of. This is where Radar from MASH lived, or this is, those sort of things. And there was one called Loveland, so I headed for that. I thought, I might find myself there.
You're like in a big city,
or a tiny little spring town.
Yeah, that's right.
But also there was Cheyenne, and I'd loved all those westerns as a kid, so I went to Cheyenne, which, as it turned out, about is a big modern city, and I just drove straight through it.
Yeah. Did you sit there in this, I'm just thinking, what you'd been through, and the smashing the crockery and everything else, did you sit there driving that Chevy going, that bloody, what my or did you put all that behind you and think, and listen to Pink Floyd and just have a good time?
You know, your acting's perfect. That's exactly what I did.
Really?
A fair amount of the first third of the book is a recounting of me driving away from things. But I think her name is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who has the 4, 5, 6, 7 stages of grief, which, you know, at the time seemed to be anger, denial, castration, and regret. Like, I was kind of thinking these were the stages I was going through.
I'm not fond of that third one.
No, the look on your face is quite revealing.
I'm not fond of the third one. The others I can get. Now, tell me something. Look, you would know Sheridan from Simon Townsend's?
Yes.
You made a lot of films.
Yeah.
So this would be a departure for you, or was it not?
Well, it is in a way. For the last, well, since 2000, I've been writing with Stephen Elliott, yes, who wrote and directed Priscilla Queen of the Desert.
Great.
We did Easy Virtue, which was a rewriting of an old Coward film play that starred Colin Firth and Kristen Scott Thomas. So I've been writing rom-coms for this time. So the only departure was that it was my story, but I've basically put a rom-com feel over the memoir.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a second. But what I mean by departure is writing rom-coms and then a book, that must be a different thing.
The thing that shocked me is that's like 80,000. Like, that's not.
Now, this is not a small book.
It's got big print.
Nah.
It's got soothing holiday reading.
Yeah, but it's, you know, 300 odd pages, so it's not a small book.
Yeah, it's about the five times the screenplay. And I just, like, by the time I got about a third the way through it, I just was thinking, wow, these are really long. This is like five films.
It's,
So.
So.
It was a bit different.
This is the question I want to ask you. So you're obviously in pain. How hard is it to write humorously when you're suffering?
It's simple if you grow up in a family with a black sense of humour.
Yeah, well,
which I think is the Australian way as well. You know, it's like, quit laughing. This is serious.
Yeah.
I wrote the first half in Washington while waiting for the hero of the piece to arrive, and I wrote the second half in Washington while waiting to sell the car.
Yeah.
So there was a period where it was quite raw, and that was. And I think that actually is the heart of the piece. But later, when I'd married my second husband and we'd moved to... as a second husband, he kind of needed some perspective on what he meant to me, because I don't think second sounds good. Like, if I could say he's my first or something, I would prefer. So
how,
I wanted.
How about preferred husband?
My preferred?
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. That's, I am so going to use that, my preferred husband. But I wanted to write him something that showed him who I was and what he meant to me, and that he was incredibly special, that he was my preferred husband.
Yeah.
So the first version of this was a love letter to him, basically. So I think that lifted it a lot, because the focus was no longer on the lesser, but to husband the preferred.
Well, that's the great part of the story. So you're in pain, think, the hell with it, I'm going to the States, get the Chevy, away you go, and the preferred husband shows up.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It really was cool. I'd actually gone to London to visit a friend who, in fact, docks himself on the back, because it was around the time that Mark Colvin... And his wife was studying with this very handsome man who's 10 years younger than me. She invited me to what I dubbed the Philosopher's Ball. So we turned up, and I thought, after it was 18 months after the breakup, and I thought, oh, well, it's time to, you know...
Move on.
Yeah, brush off the dust.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was a holiday romance, and really, you know, very satisfying, I was in a car going to the airport, and I said to him, if I had the money, I would invite you.
Mm.
And he said, well, I have... He didn't say. He thought, I have the money. Mm. Quit his job, took out a credit card, and rang me to say, I'll be there in 10 days.
I'm coming.
And
beautiful.
You'd think, but like the black sensibility in the crabby lady was basically, I gave him hell. You know, our third date was 6 weeks in a Chevy Camaro in a tent.
Oh.
You know, that's a tight little... I didn't know who was turning up.
Well, if you gave him hell and he kept coming back, he's a keeper.
He is a keeper. He's gorgeous. But my retort was that another man was looking to drive to New Orleans. So I basically put him in the car. Yeah, come with me.
Yeah.
So a man who was closer to my age, a fantastic raconteur, a very funny and very handsome man. He looked like a movie star to the point that people kept asking him for his autograph. So Scott turned up and sees this man and basically goes, you know, this is challenging. Fortunately, they bonded over music. So, you know, doing the musical ley lines of America, going through Graceland and New Orleans and bluegrass territory.
Music bonds us, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And finally, we did, on the little trip we did from LA to Denver, God, you meet some characters in America, in diners, in bars. I mean, they're an incredible race of people.
They really are. Yeah. It really is the can-do land. Yeah. I think the politics of the time just obscuring the fact that they are genial, that they're curious, that they're talkative, that they're kind, that they're helpful, that, you know, everybody that I met, almost to a person, said, oh my God, I'm, you know, a woman traveling by yourself, aren't you afraid you'll get murdered?
Yeah.
And I was saying, no, I'm traveling at high speed on the wrong side of the road. I'm frightened I'll die in a car accident.
Exactly. Or one of those horrible sheriffs is going to come up, either flashing lights.
Oh,
and then,
he did. I met him.
Really?
Yeah, in Nebraska. He
speeding,
came.
Were you?
Speeding, right. I was, yeah.
Let's not go there. Did you get fined or let off?
Oh, no, I got fined. It took me weeks to work it out, because what I got fined for was not having a front plate on the car, which was illegal in Nebraska, but not illegal in either Connecticut or and then I was thinking, it's going to be one of those cops things where I get done for an open bottle of alcohol and sent up the river and
end up in this horrible jail cell for 3 weeks while I figure out what to do with me here. I think what we should do is give it a read. Just the title attracts me. I Wish You Were Here. She Went Looking for Herself and Found Love Instead. I mean, that's just a great story in itself. Sheridan Jobbins, thanks very much for coming in to talk to us.
You too. Thank you.